The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Lucien forces his way into Amélie's boudoir, intending to upbraid her for her cruelty to his brother. But to his surprise, she mistakes him for Louis. After talking together for some time, he persuades her to meet him in the gardens the next day. It is there he discovers that she has found herself attracted to him. She believes this is Louis, and does not realize that the ruggedness and strength of this person whom she thinks to be her ex-fiancé is in reality his twin brother Lucien. Lucien takes her in his arms and kisses her. He tells her that he loves her.
I love you. Do you hear me, Amélie? I love you.
In spite of what I have done?
In spite of what you have done.
Oh, Louis. If we could only go back. If I'd not met Captain Chateau Renaud.
If only I had not told you that I'd been disinherited.
But you have money, a little money.
Yes, but it's too late now, isn't it? Or is it?
I'm married, Louis. Don't you understand?
But your husband is away on the high seas, so you tell me.
Yes, but...
Then there is no one to stand between us.
Don't.
My dear Amélie, in the past, you've shown that you have no scruples. Oh, Amélie, if you love me, as you say you do...
I do.
Then listen carefully to what I have to say. We must meet again and again.
You have missed me?
Oh, more than I can say.
I'm glad, glad.
I have an apartment in Paris. I'm staying with Monsieur Godet, who's gone away to Corsica. Come with me, back to my apartment.
I can't. I must be home, because Papa is expecting me.
Afterwards?
Tonight there is a reception. I have to go.
After the reception?
After the reception? Why,
You must. I'll be waiting for you. I'll write down the address.
Oh, Louis, what is that about you? What is it? Something I never saw before. Something I never felt before.
You know now that you're in love with me.
More in love than I've ever been in my life. In fact, if you had no money, if you had nothing, I'd marry you if I were free.
That from you is a compliment.
Oh, don't say that so bitterly. You should be glad. Oh, Louis, you're looking so well, so strong, so bronzed. That is something I can't understand.
What?
Why did Monsieur Godet come to me and tell me that you were dangerously ill, that you were dying?
Perhaps it was a ruse to bring you to me.
A ruse? So that's it. You knew that I wouldn't see you.
Not unless I forced my way into your boudoir, which I did.
Oh, Louis, I love you for that. I love you for the harsh things you said to me.
Then you will come tonight, at midnight?
What am I to say to Papa and Mama?
Apparently, you're a clever manager.
I will arrange it somehow. I must. I want to be with you, alone. Just you and I, shutting out the world.
Here is the address. I will be waiting outside for you. Midnight.
And so we leave Lucien and Amélie and travel once again across the Mediterranean to Lucien's brother Louis. Louis, who was once engaged to fair Amélie. How surprised Amélie would be if she could see this boy now, lying on his sickbed as white as death. This boy whom she thinks has put his arms around her and kissed her. But how is she to know, since one brother is a counterpart of the other? As we see Louis lying so still and so white, almost as though he were dead, we notice suddenly that his eyelids flicker, and once again the cry comes from his lips, the cry that is eternal through day and night.
Amélie! Amélie!
I am coming, Louis. I am coming. Grifo?
Yes, madame?
It is Louis. I think he is waking.
Is he still in his delirium, madame?
His eyes are open, but he sees nothing.
Oh. I wonder if he is in pain, madame.
That is what I fear, Grifo. What makes it worse? He has mental pain. Pain which tortures his poor brain. If it were physical, it would not rack him like this. He is a de Franchi. All the de Franchis can bear pain.
Aye, and you especially, madame.
I have learned the trick of it, Grifo. It's a case of mind over matter. A woman can profit by pain. If she is a great woman, she can refuse to let it conquer her. She can laugh at it. She can despise her body and rise above it.
But there is nothing for you to despise, madame.
I do despise myself. I despise myself for not being strong enough to defeat our enemies, Grifo. For allowing a woman to bring my son Louis to this. For allowing my enemy, the Gedici, to whip him and torture him. But someday we shall rise above pain. as the great have done.
The great, madame?
Those who have the will to govern pain and deride it with their greatness. The composer Ludwig van Beethoven, for instance.
Aye, your favorite works, madame.
And yet this great man, stricken deaf, mind you, Grifo, wrote his greatest works with deafness upon him. A composer wrote while he was deaf and never heard some of his finest works.
Almost incredible, madame.
His genius rose above his affliction, as so often happens when the mind rules. If only my poor Louis could control the mind, could banish the thought of this wicked woman.
Do you think she will come, madame?
No.
Then he will get worse.
To get worse would mean to die.
Oh, no, madame.
If only for me, Grifo. I am old. It is only when we're young that we fear death. We're hot then. Hot with the zest of life, the will to live. And when this fire dies, when we stop thinking what we must achieve, then we are ready to pass into the valley of death. We have experienced the monotony of life, and death is the only thing left that has not come our way.
Emily!
There, there, my son. Oh, Grifo, his forehead is so hot, yet his face so white, it is unnatural. Almost as though...
No, madame. He will live. He must live.
Leave me, Grifo. I will pray here by his bedside. I will pray that the woman will come to him, give him the will and the hope to live on. I will pray for his future and that of his brother. Leave me, Grifo.
Aye, madame.
Twelve o'clock. Midnight. I am here with you, my son. I shall pray through the night into the dawn. It must be your will to live. You are a De Franchi. You have a mission in life. To live on with your brother so that the De Franchi name may once again become great in Corsica. Dear God in heaven, spare this life. I have made so many sacrifices that this boy should live. Do not let a woman break the thread which links life with death.
Come in.
Am I late?
No, it has just struck 12. Emily, I have never seen you before in ball dress. Oh, it is enough to...
To what?
To take a man's breath away. You are breathlessly lovely.
I had to tell so many lies. You have no idea. And Papa, he was so curious.
Was he?
Yes. Oh, Louis, now that we have shut the world outside, I can hardly wait. Take me in your arms. Hold me close.
Your eyes are bright. Your cheeks flushed. You're excited.
Do you wonder? All night long, my thoughts were here with you. I couldn't listen to the chatter at the music hour. All day long, I've been hearing your voice. Isn't it strange, Louis, that I should have suddenly thought I've loved you all the time?
Very strange. Let me take your cloak. When do you have to be back?
I will not be missed. Oh, Louis, let me look at you. You're so tall, so bronzed, your shoulders so broad. Strange that I never realized it before.
Is it so strange?
To me, yes. Why do you look at me so queerly? Oh, don't laugh like that. And what is the matter with you? Oh, kiss me and tell me that you love me, as you did this afternoon. Oh, Louis.
Come here. Look up. Look me in the eyes. You asked me to tell you that I loved you. This is what I say.
Louis! Louis, are you out of your mind? You struck me.
But only on the one side of your pretty face. Here is another.
Oh, Louis!
That's how much I love you, you vixen.
Vixen?
Yes. Perhaps you don't understand why I brought you here tonight. I will make myself clear. I brought you here to humiliate you.
Humiliate me?
Yes, for all you've done. To think that you were engaged to somebody whose boots you're not fit to lick. To think that you would leave that somebody dying and not make a move to help him, you... You Jezebel.
How dare you? How dare you say these things to me? Give me my cloak.
Just a moment. Your humiliation is not quite complete, Amélie Latouche.
What do you mean?
You will learn in due time.
Give me my cloak.
Not until the time comes.
What do you mean? I don't understand. You're crazy. If you don't let me out of this room, I'll call for help.
Call for help, will you? And bring everybody here to witness your shame? A nice morsel of gossip for court circles tomorrow. You in my apartment at midnight, and your husband on the high seas.
Who is that?
The moment has come. Amélie, your father and mother are on the other side of that door. I persuaded them to come so that they might learn something which would interest them vitally. The fact that you are little less than a courtesan.
The beautiful Amélie went as pale as death as she heard these words. Even now, she doesn't realize that this man who stands before her is not her ex-fiancé. Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers. Thank you.